all about her. Her body, her mind, her wellness, her sex, her relationships, her aging, her beauty. It's Her Radio. Starring acclaimed entrepreneur and women's advocate, Michelle King Robeson, and leading women's health expert, the doc who walks the talk, Dr. Pam Peek.
All right, Michelle.
Yes.
I know it's not mission impossible to feel beautiful as you age, right?
For some of us, yes.
Okay. For others, they're feeling helpless, hopeless, and defeated. And to the rescue comes our wonderful guest, Dr. Vivian Diller, a clinical psychologist who's in private practice in New York City and the author of, this is the coolest name for this book. I love it.
Face it.
What women really feel as their looks change. Dr. Diller, welcome to Her Radio. And I would love
to talk to you.
Oh, we're so happy to have you here. Tell us, we're looking for these six ways to feel beautiful as you age. And when I say beautiful, it's inward and outward. I know we all mean that holistically. Tell us about the first one, the uh-oh moment.
Well, let me get to why I even bothered to write this book, because when you mention a psychologist who's going to talk about beauty, that in itself is a little bit of a sort of paradox. But I felt, having been once a professional ballet dancer and then a Wilhelmina model, and then I became a psychologist, I felt there needed to be a voice out there for all those women who wanted to hear something beyond it's what's inside that counts, and more about, of course our looks matter, but how can they matter as we age so that we feel attractive? So I'll start with the uh-oh moment. I knew, just by looking at my peers, when I wrote this book, I was in my 40s, that millions, I'm talking about the million baby boomers that are hitting midlife, were feeling, uh-oh, something is changing, and I didn't expect this to bother me because I felt that my looks would take a backseat to everything else about myself. And uh-oh is the first step in being able to manage these things, because you had to first accept the fact that looks do matter. Second,
all right,
step.
Now in that uh-oh, okay, mm-hmm. Michelle, you and I have to share now, okay? My uh-oh was when I went to the hair salon one day and she says, oh, look, gray roots. Okay, I said, thank you. After I slapped her upside down, you know, the head, and I said, excuse me? No, that was like a hair salon smackdown that took place. I fell out of my chair, looked, you know, peered into the mirror, and son of a gun, around my crown, the little mothers were starting to grow. Okay, Michelle, what was yours?
A gray hair in my eyebrow.
Yes,
that I continue to pluck.
Oh, yes. My God, it's the eyebrow one. Oh, and they will not tint at all, you know, no matter what you do. And so now there's mascaras for eyebrow. I mean, well, that gets us to the step two, masks.
Well, right. Well, it's worth stepping back for a moment and even asking yourself, why is it that gray hair, whether it's in your crown of your head or your eyebrow, really gets to you? You are both very accomplished women. I was surrounded by all these very smart women who went into kind of a panic mode. They were looking in the mirror like insecure adolescents, suddenly go, what was going on? And so what I'm trying to do in my book and helping women in general is recognize the moment you see that gray eyebrow, more so even than the gray hair, because you start to feel like, uh-oh, it's an invasion. It's not
right.
Just one hair. I can't pluck it out. And next thing you know, something else has happened. It actually resonates with some part of us that goes way, way back in history, which means for thousands of years, our role was to attract and mate and procreate, right? Even though the feminist revolution has expanded our roles in so many ways and has given us so many more opportunities, hardwired somewhere in our basic core is looks were what we were valued for. It was our currency. When you see that gray hair, it's not like, oh, I'm going to be old. I'm going to be valueless. So what we do when we have that, we mask it.
So that's number two. We're going to the mask. And this
all right.
Now here we're looking at uncomfortable feelings, and you have emotional masks. See, I immediately went to the makeup place. I mean, you know, we could do all kinds of fun things.
We could be literal about the mask.
Oh, yeah.
Some people mask it with, I have, you know, patients who will be desperate to have that fourth kid. You know, they can't afford it. Their husbands don't want it. But suddenly they get preoccupied by the idea, I got to have that another child. Some of people want to run the marathon even though their, you know, knees are killing them. But there is such a compelling desire to cover up the feeling.
Goes to number three, which is the internal dialogues. What are these internal dialogues sounding like? Let's get right into your head.
All right. So one time, once I get women to understand that this is not a superficial feeling that they are trying to run away from, I get them to listen carefully. I quiet the noise. Don't look at the ads out there. Listen to what you're saying to yourself. And often what I hear women say to someone is highly self-critical. And until you can know that you are being so critical of these changes, you don't know how to stop that. So that's another step. You know, listen to what you're saying to yourself. You would never say to your best friend, I'm sure you wouldn't say to each other what you say to yourself. You wouldn't say, oh my God, I see another wrinkle. So as soon
it's self-abuse.
And we do it all the time. It's that recording in our brains. I mean, as I was looking at step three, right, in internal dialogues, how many times have I said, I look so old, I have bags under my eyes, my peers look so much better, men don't look at me anymore, all these things, and I don't want to be alone, which are all things that we as women do to ourselves.
Well, can we just go to step four then, looking back to move forward, because I think this helps us.
Step four, five, into six, because what I'd really like to get to is what women actually can do at the end of this process.
Well, let's do
it. Four, five, and six is, you know, when you look into your history, and some people don't even think about doing this, they don't look back at what beauty actually meant to them. And women have hesitated to do that because they didn't think it should matter. But understanding the role your mother played in how she viewed your looks, how your father looked at your mother, how your mother aged, very helpful information. Adolescence, which is step five. Look at how you dealt with the changes in your body when you were a teenager, because that's probably going to parallel more closely than anything else how you deal with the changes at midlife. And lastly, in order to move on and find a way to be more embracing of those changes, we have to let go. We have to let go of the adherence to a self-image that is so unattainable that we keep trying and trying and we actually feel less attractive. So then, if we have time, I want to get to the three things that the women who seem to go through this process have in common.
Well, let's do it right now.
Okay. They have a flexible self-image. In other words, they can redefine what it means to be beautiful as they age. How I looked when I was a ballet dancer and could get my leg over my head or as a model with all the airbrushing, if I held on to that, there's no way I could feel attractive. You have to learn how to have a flexible self-image. The second one is that internal dialogue that was critical. Learn to shift it. Start to talk to yourself the way you might your daughter, like the way you might your best friend. It does an amazing move to being able to have greater self-confidence when you walk in a room as you see the changes. And the last is, maybe this is obvious, but it's important to remind women, we have to find a balance between taking care of our appearance. We can't. Letting it go, that's not a solution. Being true to yourself doesn't mean not caring about how you look. It means having a good balance between taking care of how you look, but elevating the other things that you've gained over experience, over lifetime. You know, you have a family, you have a profession. Have that balanced with how you look in your identity. Those are the three things. If you can get there, I'm telling you, that feeling you have, it changes.
So I'm loving this. If I can reiterate this very quickly, be flexible with your self-image, shift that internal dialogue, balance that taking care, and your 6 points were absolutely fabulous. Thank you ever, ever so much, Dr. Diller, for your words of wisdom.
You're listening to Her Radio on Radio MD. This is Michelle King-Robson and Dr. Peek. Like us on Facebook. Stay well.